The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
IGN Playlist is a new home to your game library. Rate games, share lists, and log your game time powered by How Long to Beat. Sign up for early access today at playlist.ign.com.
Beyond and hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Dorbush, and this is Podcast Beyond. Yes, I didn't let the staff know that I was just starting and running into the show, so here we go. This is Podcast Beyond, IGN's weekly PlayStation show, where we cover all the latest in the world of PlayStation, gaming, news, reviews, tubes. That's all I have.
Just keep listing stuff.
Thanks. Anyway,
none of us are going to interject.
That's fine. That's great. Leave me out. Hang me to dry. I get it. Anyway, we're joined this week. My name is Jonathan Dorbush. I'm joined this week by Jada Griffin.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hello. Glad to have you back. And Mark Medina.
Where's Matt? I was told Matt would be on this episode.
Yes. Unfortunately, Matt Kim was going to be on this show this week. He's unable to make it. We were going to be talking about Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker, since that has been out in its, I believe, early access form. But he is still waiting in queues.
He's still in queues. So, yeah, he hasn't played it yet. How can you play Endwalker if you can't even
log in?
Begin Walker.
The real tough question we ask here.
I wrote that down.
I was going to say, how long have you been holding on to that one for?
Years.
We are.
Before they announced it.
You know the name years ago? Yeah. We're going to be jumping into some PlayStation news this week, including what may be the sort of PlayStation Game Pass competitor that PlayStation has hinted at. They would have something to talk about. It's not official yet, but we do have some possible alleged details on that. But before we do, I do want to just quickly mention and obviously reference, yes, this show is being recorded and released before the Game Awards this week. If there are any major PlayStation announcements at the show this week, we'll cover them on next week's episode. Also, as a heads up, next week's episode will be our last sort of regularly scheduled episode for the year. But we will be back, of course, in January after the holiday break. But so, you know, with all of that in mind, especially with the awards usually having so many big reveals at them, I want to quickly start off the show with just one quick announcement or announcement prediction between the three of us of what we think may be at the show. Jada, I'll start with you. What do you think is a potential Game Awards announcement?
Wow. This is going to be completely left field and probably is not going to happen. But I'm going to say Final Fantasy Remake Part 2 gets shown.
Final Fantasy 7 Remake?
Yeah, the Remake Part
2. Oh, okay. I was like, wait, are they remaking the original and I missed it?
No, but they are making the prequel, Final Fantasy Origin Stranger of Paradise, where you become Chaos.
Yep.
I enjoy Chaos. I would love to see that. I wonder what the timeline for that Remake Part 2 even is going to be at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like if they showed it in the next year, I wouldn't be surprised. Also, if they didn't show it for 3 more years, I wouldn't be surprised at this point.
100% agree. So I am saying it's not going to happen. It's not going to be there. But, you know, that would get me. That would be the one thing I would record a trailer reaction to.
No, I get it. That's a good one. I hope we do see it, because I did love that DLC. But yeah, mm-hmm. Mark, what about you? What do you think is your wild Game Awards prediction for this week?
I'm in a weird spot, because whatever we predict normally, you know, we get to come back next week and be like, we were wrong. I'm on Game Scoop on Friday as like a post show for Game Awards. So it's like, it's too soon where people are going to watch Beyond and Game Scoop and they're going to be like, here's Mark making a prediction and here's him instantly being wrong. So that's great. Yeah. My prediction is the Game Awards is going to have a lot of TV and movie stuff because we already know that Sonic's going to be there and we already know that Halo is going to be there. So to continue with that trend, my prediction is that we're going to see the first actual tease of The Last of Us television show at the Game Awards, because it seems like a lot of movie and TV stuff is showing up there. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it's time we saw something from that show. I'm also very, very excited that Nick Offerman playing Bill
is such good casting.
I love Nick Offerman so much. So
I was so confused because they had announced previously that Con O'Neill was playing Bill. Mm-hmm. So I was like, who is Nick Offerman going to play? And so, like, I was putting it out there. I was like, let's let him play David. Let's let him play a cannibal. Let's see a complete different side of Nick Offerman. But then they announced that there was scheduling conflicts, so he's going to be Bill now, and I am ecstatic.
He is a perfect Bill. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the show? Not Parks and Rec. Everyone's watched Parks and Rec. Did you guys watch Devs?
I have not watched
Devs yet,
but I've heard it's amazing.
It is so good, and he is so good in that show as like this like ultra depressed, gritty, like. He's very, very good. I recommend you watch it because it's not like a season thing. It's just, you know, it's over. It's just it's a mini series.
Okay.
It's very, very good.
Yeah.
And he is excellent in it. And so it's like, I want more like dark, gritty Nick Offerman. Because now that Devs is out, I'm like, oh, he's like, he's so good at comedy, but I feel like he's better at this. So
he has that range. That's a thing about a lot. This is a total tangent, but that's the thing about a lot of comedic actors when they make the switch to drama. It's like comedy requires so much timing and is so difficult on another level. I feel like they adapt to drama more easily than drama actors do to comedy.
I 100% agree.
And don't get me wrong. Parks and Rec, probably my favorite show of all time. And he's like my favorite character from that show. Yeah. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I'm ready to see more from him.
Yeah, him as Bill is a really, really exciting casting opportunity. That was a little bit of news that dropped earlier this week. Thank you all for shouting that out. But yeah, it should be fun. I would love to be able to see a first tease of that. You're right. We do have two movie trailers at this point, movie and TV trailers with Halo and Sonic. So why not round it out and make it a trend with three? Yeah, that would be very awesome to see. Mm-hmm. My prediction is sort of, I guess, twofold, is that we are not going to see PlayStation first party at the Game Awards, but we will see PlayStation exclusives. So we will see a Forspoken or, you know, something like that along the lines of like something that's been in a past PlayStation State of Play or showcase that is a console launch exclusive. Forspoken, possibly Final Fantasy 16, possibly stuff like Stray or whatnot. I think we'll see things like that, but I don't know if we'll see PlayStation proper appear there this year.
Do you think
I'd like to be wrong?
Do you think we're going to see a Deathloop trailer?
Somehow, yes.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's nominated for stuff, so you're absolutely going to see Deathloop stuff. I don't think we'll see a marketing trailer, but man, has it become a meme enough for them to just do it? That's what I'm wondering. Is
like a second accolades trailer to premiere at the Game Awards would be very funny if they released that. I mean,
have they announced the date for it for like Xbox yet?
No,
so they could potentially do that coming to Xbox.
March it's so funny to think about that once that exclusivity period drops off, we are going to start seeing Deathloop trailers again.
They're gonna
hilarious.
It will shift from PlayStation events to Xbox events, which is just a very funny, like, we're gonna just continue to have Deathloop trailers in our lives.
I'm working on a piece right now with Dornbush, and it's like what to expect from PlayStation 2022. And so I've had to download a lot of their like conferences, like, because it was kind of a look back at like what they've done and then what's coming up, and I'm having trouble trying to figure out, like, I have like three different PlayStation showcases and state of plays, and no matter which one I click, it's like I scrub and I see Deathloop, and so I'm starting to get confused on which one's which.
Where fully are you are
I would love to see Final Fantasy 16 again. I think we've seen enough of Forspoken. It wouldn't surprise me if that's there, but I would love to see Final Fantasy 16. I'd also love to see Kojima. I have a feeling we're going to see what Kojima's been working on. This is the time to show it. So
if there's if there's a conference he would appear at, a showcase, it would this definitely is the be one. This. But yep. The only reason I think Forspoken, I agree. I think we've seen plenty of it. The only reason I think is just we still have to get a release date. And if it is hitting its spring window, now is a good time. But yeah, I'm with you. I would so love to see another look at Final Fantasy 16. But I know the producers have said they kind of don't want to show it until it's much closer to the end at this point, because I think they want to avoid oversaturating the market with it. So hopefully that means when we see it, it will be within like 6 months of launch. I mean, that's, I can't speak.
That game is next year, right? They've said it's next year.
Supposedly. But I mean, we also have, we've got the Strangers of Paradise, like Jonathan mentioned earlier, that's in Q1. And then we just had Endwalker that just dropped. So like we're really being, for lack of a better word, inundated with Final Fantasy stuff, which I'm happy because I'm a huge Final Fantasy fan. So I love seeing as much Final Fantasy as possible. But the fact that 16 is using using the same or very similar engine as 14.
As 14?
I don't think it's the same engine, excuse me, but I think but the character models and stuff are very similar in design to 14. And so I mean, obviously it's 16 is improved, but I can see the similarities between the two. So I'm not surprised that if we don't see some 16 stuff, because Endwalker just dropped and they don't want to kind of cannibalize their own news on Endwalker hype, it would make sense to not see 16.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think they've actually, I'm just looking it up. I don't know if they've spoken about what their engine focus is for FF16. Sorry, everyone, this is a tangent. But
yeah, no, for sure. I thought
They
share a producer, like Yoshida, and that's what it was. Yeah. I see just a lot of the similarities from playing a lot of 14. The character models and stuff look very reminiscent of
Yoshi P. That's who I'm thinking.
Yeah. 16's character models look reminiscent of 14. So that's what I was getting at. Not the same engine.
The problem with Beyond now. You invited some Final Fantasy nerds on. So we're just anytime you say the words Final or Fantasy, I'm happy to go on a tangent.
You want to talk about Final Fantasy on a PlayStation podcast? Get out of here. What's wrong with you? It's a really exciting time. That is the only reason I would think a remake trailer is less likely, but I hope that's not the case, because I would like to see whatever is happening with that game. But it should be exciting. As Mark said, we'll cover any announcements next week on this show, and Mark can be proven wrong later this week on another show. So isn't that wonderful?
I'm going to show up in the first comment just to say Mark was wrong.
Yeah. Hashtag Mark was wrong. Before we move on, I did also just want to mention, if you haven't seen it, IGN launched a video game, so get your reviews out there. The IGN 25 game celebrating sort of the history of IGN is currently available to play. We'll have a link in the description so you can go check it out yourself. It sort of goes through the history of pop culture and specifically IGN alongside all of that pop culture. It's playable in your browser. As far as I'm aware, there are no microtransactions of any kind, but it does sort of celebrate all of the launches of the podcast, other major events in IGN's history, and just a bunch of other really cool pop culture stuff. So if you want to go check that out, you can see, if you're watching the video version, some footage from it. This is not a world exclusive, unfortunately, because you can be playing the game, but that is out there for you all to check out.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn, because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice?
One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married, Let's Hear Them Talk About It. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
We need to get a speed run of this. That way I can do a Devs React, and it would exactly. be the easiest one to get because I could just Slack them.
Just,
hey,
yeah,
Andres,
you can just Slack the Devs.
You're busy?
But yeah, go check that out if you're interested. It's currently available to just play in your browser. But moving on from there, let's jump into some of the PlayStation news of this week and why won't this URL load on my screen? So I'm going to riff. If any of you want to bring up the page, I am getting an error. That is fun.
Yeah. Are we talking about the PlayStation Game Pass competitor?
Yeah, I'll need you for specific, probably, looks at that article. But yeah, this was a report from late last week, but I think it's definitely worth us diving into. I have some notes written down, but yeah, please correct me if I'm forgetting any of the specifics. But essentially, allegedly, according to Schreier's report, its current project name is Spartacus. And essentially, we're looking at
kind of fitting.
Yeah, we're looking at a 3-tier program. It would be the first tier would sort of be the PlayStation Plus that we all know and probably subscribe to. The second tier would be PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now sort of bundled in there. They would phase out the PS Now naming convention and all that sort of stuff. And then the third tier would further add on top of that and offer a bunch of other features, including extended game demos, a few other things, and most importantly, a potential back catalog of games going all the way back to PS1, including PS2, PS3, and PSP. So that's sort of the like top-down overview of it. We obviously don't have a lot of other details. There are no official word from PlayStation on this. We have seen Jim Ryan in the past and others from PlayStation comment on, we are thinking about how to have something equivalent to this. It just hasn't been the right time to share those details. It seems like next year could potentially be that time, especially as we continue to see Game Pass rising. And so I do want to get into the nitty gritty of these tiers and what we think of them, what's missing, what could be there, what we think we would pay for this, but just sort of like general top-down view. Mark, I'll start with you. What do you think of this alleged program as this 3-tier thing? How do you think it stacks up? What are your general thoughts on it?
Yeah, I have had a feeling it's been coming for a while. PlayStation Now, which is, it's this weird thing, right? Like they acquired Gaikai and then renamed it PlayStation Now, and then they stopped having the streaming only a long time ago, but the name has kind of just been like synonymous with that for a real long time. And so I've long said that there's a lot of things PlayStation Now needs to fix, and I think it needs to start with a rebranding. PlayStation Now, still to this day, people think I don't want to stream games when you've been able to download PS4 games on it for I think years at this point. I don't know, but I know for a while. So I don't use it, but I think it was an eventual shift that they needed to do now that Xbox is becoming more competitive. They kind of need to figure that out, where it's like first party is always going to be their biggest thing and like exclusives and stuff like that. But then they need, Xbox just has so much goodwill with Game Pass, where people are like, yeah, but I buy my Xbox because I instantly get 200 games for free kind of deal. You know, I know Game Pass isn't free, but so they need to be able to like compete with that in some sort of way. My gut reaction is that it's going to be a little different than Game Pass in the sense that they are not going to give you first party games for free. I think there's no way in hell that happens, but I do think that I do think things as early as if they release this in summer, I think you could potentially see something like Forbidden West on there for free, but I don't think you'll get day and date. This is, you know, it's out. So there you go. Like Halo Infinite, everybody with Game Pass has Halo Infinite now. I don't think we're going to see that, but
yeah,
I'm excited for it. As excited as one person can be to go back and play PlayStation 1 games.
I do want to get into sort of the day one arguments for and against, but yeah, Jada, just sort of like top level view. Yeah. How do you feel about this news?
Yeah. I think Mark kind of hit the nail on the head with it. It's been a long time coming. I've looked at PlayStation Now so many times, like I've just kind of scrolled through the library just to see what's available in it. And there's like, I was like, oh, that'd be really cool to play. But at the same time, I have all these other games to play and I don't want to pay. Like, it's not enough of a bonus service for me to throw down the extra money to jump into it. So I need to see some, you know, improved goodwill. I need to see some better like optics around it. I need to see just better content on it as well. Before I'm gonna jump in, and so I'm excited for this new plan.
To be fair, I scroll through the Game Pass list pretty often and don't download anything, or I download a bunch of stuff and never play it. This isn't to you know, I'm just not that kind of person that like we're usually trying to play the latest and greatest. You know, we work at IGN, so that's not to, I really don't know what they would have to do. I think Game Pass is amazing, but like I don't really use it either. So I'd be interested to see how this works.
I do the same thing with Game Pass. I download a bunch of stuff and like maybe I'll hop on and play it for a weekend and then I don't touch it ever again. Like I did that with The Ascent. I did that with Unpacking. I did that with, I mean, that was a short game anyways, but
say, Unpacking, you probably could beat it on your lunch. So you're probably fine there.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there's that just is a bunch the, of games like that. That's the streaming, you know, service problem, not just with games or TV, but it's like when you're presented with so many options, not everyone, obviously, but a lot of humans just naturally will not know what to choose. Like that's the joke of Netflix, is you spend your nights surfing what to watch on Netflix and not actually watching anything.
They finally added that option to pick for you.
Yeah,
I would never do that. That is so weird.
I do not allow it to do that.
Like, I did it once and it was a terrible suggestion, so I've never done it again.
Yeah, I don't need Cocomelon to appear randomly on my TV. But yeah, it is definitely an interesting thing. I do agree that there are like positives and negatives to it, but I do think one of the things, and Mark, you were alluding to it, is, you know, even if you don't play everything that's on Game Pass, there's dozens and dozens, if not a few hundred games, you can have all of those at your fingertips for this monthly subscription price, which is an amazing value. Yep. But obviously the biggest thing about it is getting Microsoft first party games, and when they secure third party games exclusively day one on the service, so that you are not paying an extra $60 or $70. That's not a thing that is mentioned in Schreier's report as something PlayStation is considering. Mark, you did allude to your thoughts on it, and I also agree. I do not think, at least when this service launches, there is no way in hell PlayStation puts up Horizon or God of War day one on this service. I just don't foresee that happening. Do either of you feel different?
No, I don't. No, I think I could see them extending the PlayStation Plus collection when this new service drops, and like giving like boosting, like maybe doubling the amount of titles that we originally got for the PS Plus collection for this type of a system. But I agree. I don't think we're going to get day in day one. Maybe a discount if you're subscribed, maybe like a 20% discount. I could see that, because a lot of like online retailers already offer those like 10 or 20% discounts if you pre-order games with them. So would make sense to do it that way as well and tie it into their service.
Yeah, I mentioned Horizon because if the reports are true and they're targeting a summer 2022, Horizon will have been out 3, 4, 5 months by that point. So like that could be a way to get people in the door. It's like, hey, if you miss Horizon Forbidden West, like this is their big thing, right? But if we're theorizing that God of War Ragnarok comes out in fall 2022, no shot is that hitting right day and date. I can't picture it because that game will sell, right? I mean, you look at what happened with Game Pass and Forza Horizon, right? They kind of pulled a little bit of an EA where Forza Horizon was day and date on Game Pass, but you could get into the early access if you bought the like ultimate edition like 3 mm-hmm. days before, and that sold like 1 million copies or 2 million, I don't even know, but it sold an insane amount. It's a ton of people were playing Forza Horizon before it arrived on Game Pass, and so it kind of showed that like people were going to play that game regardless. Yeah. They paid to play it 3 days early, so yeah. I don't think that they need to put God of War Ragnarok on there. They know that that game's going to sell.
Well, and I get where you're coming from on Horizon, but I don't even know if they would put that there because Horizon was, before Ghost, like the fastest selling new IP for them. It sold 10 plus mm-hmm. million copies. Like, yep. At the very least, I think PlayStation would not put any first party games on their day and date until they are like severely underselling sequels and new IP. Like if those things start to plummet, then yes, they might have a reason to. But yeah, I totally agree with you. Like Xbox is coming from the position of like, we need to make up ground. And so having everyone be able to jump into Forza is how you get 10 million players in the first month or whatever. Like, I don't think if Forza was only a $60 game, it would have 10 million players. And like, regardless of its quality, I just think, you know, with the current state of the Xbox ecosystem, I think that's kind of benefited by being on Game Pass. So yeah, I think on the other hand, Horizon, I don't think it'll sell 10 million copies in its first month, but I do think they'll expect it to sell that in its first couple of years. And they probably don't foresee a reason to lose the money from that and would see something like this as additive at the very least, unless Horizon, you know, comes out and it reviews terribly and undersells, which I don't think is going to happen.
Could happen.
I think anything could.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the, you know, the day and date games we might get would be for, like you were saying, underperforming games. Like if we ever get a Days Gone 2, which under the first one underperformed expectations, if I remember correctly.
Critically, it sold okay, I think. Yeah. I think it sold decently, but yeah.
But yeah, I think that's something like titles like that that maybe aren't at the top of everybody's list. Like, you know, God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, those are games that are at the top of PlayStation players' list. Days Gone is on the top for some, but not nearly as many as others. So I think something like that would be good for day and date. And so maybe like if it's cherry picked like that, Jonathan, you look like you had something.
I was just going to say, on top of just first party stuff, I do also think, you know, obviously PlayStation makes a really big bet for third party exclusives at launch. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like if anything, some of those might get on here more so than first party probably has a chance.
Yeah, I could see like the next Street Fighter or something like that being on there, which, you know, is all about getting new players in the door and they're always trying to attract more of an audience. Yeah. I think franchises like that will do really well on a subscription service like this. The other thing I want to add that I would love to see that I don't think we mentioned in the doc is I would love to see as part of the service, especially if you're doing the all out bundle, I would love all the DLC for games. I don't want to pay extra for my DLC if I'm paying more for a subscription service. I would like all the extra costumes, the extra levels, whatever new game modes. I want all that included in my subscription service if I'm paying extra for that.
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, that might be an interesting way to add an incentive to getting people. I could see that very easily happening with first party stuff, at the very least bonuses of some kind. Like if you're a subscriber to this, you automatically get an extra costume unlock or an extra, you know, perk or something. But that's another interesting additive way, because we did see, and I do want to get into the backward compatible stuff, but there were a few other mentions in the report. And I think one of them was sort of game demos. And we had talked about this before the show, but I don't think that means every demo that could come out on PlayStation will be behind this, but I do think, you know, when they were testing those 6-hour download demos for Sackboy and Death Stranding, I feel like that would be a perk of this service. That makes a lot of sense.
I agree.
Something just as like a final thought on like it's competition to Game Pass is the fact that Game Pass is also on your personal computer, which bolsters its numbers a lot, right? You my friend does not have an Xbox, but he just bought a PC, and all he, you know, he talks about how much he loves Game Pass. And I, it's funny, I use Game Pass on PC, but I always forget that that's like a thing, that it's like you get a PC and you're like, I'm using Game Pass. I instantly own a million games. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's when you think PC, you think Steam, right? Everybody gets Steam, but Steam doesn't have anything like that. And he bought a gaming PC and instantly has access to all these games and can play Halo Infinite with all, us and all that good stuff because that's there. And, you know, PlayStation Game Pass, you would assume, is not going to be on PC. So that's, I think that's going to hurt them a little bit as well when it comes to like trying to compare numbers to numbers.
Yeah, I think it'll definitely be a thing that they are aiming to get people who have a PS4 or a PS5 to download these things. I don't think they're as concerned with that PC market yet, but like we will see them move it. Like there might be some perks that carry over there. They obviously are also going to be making more of a mobile push. It's who knows if there's going to be like some free game downloads for mobile games if you're subscribed to this thing somehow. Like there could be something in there as well. They are expanding, but I agree with you. I don't expect them to do that. And just before we move on to the backward compatible stuff, I did realize I don't think any of us are saying, and I think it's fair to say, just to state it though, like we don't expect first party games to never be a part of this thing. Like,
oh yeah,
I think if this launches early next year, there's no reason Demon's Souls for PS5 can't be on there, or Sackboy, or you know,
no, stuff I launch. Started by saying I think Horizon Forbidden West would be on there.
Yeah,
no, I think they'll be there. I just don't think it'll be day and date. I just don't because there, I don't know, there's something about it that I could be completely off. And it's not something Xbox gamers feel, but like it's so weird when a game comes out on Game Pass. It, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like a release. Maybe because now Forza is my game of the year, right? I love Forza Horizon 5, but that game was such a, it was such a weird thing when it released because, like I said, people were able to pay and get it 3 days early, and then it came out on Game Pass 3 days later, and I'm like, and then Halo kind of had this weird thing where they released the multiplayer 2 weeks before, so everyone's playing Halo, and I'd be like, hey, are you gonna play Halo on Wednesday? And they're like, I've been playing Halo for weeks. And I'm like, no, I'm talking about the campaign. The campaign comes out Wednesday. And it's like, it's been this weird thing where PlayStation, I don't think they're ready to let go the idea of pre-ordering a game, watching that timer countdown, or lining up at a GameStop or whatever. I don't think they're ready to let that go and just be like, the game is on Game Pass now, and you're, you know, have a bunch of people try it for 30 minutes and never play it again. Like, I think that they don't need to do that. So they're not going to.
No, I agree. I think, go ahead, Jada. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I think there's, you know, a lot of value in like the hype of a launch day. There's a lot of value in that. There's a lot of extra, you know, additional things that you can be, that can be purchased throughout the market, whether it's, you know, I don't want to say strategy guides because that's not really a thing as much anymore, but like art books or, you know, like Guardians did, like a Guardians of the Galaxy did a soundtrack. They did a whole prequel book, and this stuff came out later, but there's a lot of times where these type of stuff launch day and date with the game releases, and something, and also collectibles, you know. I remember tons of Halo launches where every single time we launched a Halo game, from my time working at GameStop, there was a million different Master Chief collectible toys that we sold as well, that people were just were buying as with their games. They're like, yeah, I want that as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with both of you. I don't think PlayStation is looking to give up the pomp and circumstance of what a here is a game releasing on this day sort of thing as a part of what we do. And I think there are merits and downsides to both practices that we could definitely, you know, spend hours getting into. But that is something that I think Xbox has been leaning into, like you were saying, Mark, with Forza. It was like, for the people who did want to play, they gave some early access. Otherwise, Forza just kind of appeared on your console. And I agree, it is a little weird where it's just like, oh, this game I've been really looking forward to play, it's just there. And that's awesome. But yeah, we're sort of trained to be like, but this is the launch day. And I like hit download or I hit play for the first time. And here it's just kind of like, I preloaded 2 weeks ago. And obviously there's preloads and stuff like that on PlayStation. But yeah, there's a difference there, especially when you look at stuff like Halo. Jeff Gertzman over at Giant Bomb for his Halo Infinite review, I was reading it yesterday, did this really, really great sort of breakdown in the middle of the
review. Such a weird review. Such a weird.
Well, it's like a what even is a review of this game anymore? Because he's like, am I reviewing the $60 game? Am I reviewing the single player campaign? Am I reviewing the multiplayer that we've all been playing for 3 weeks already? Like, Xbox isn't playing by those rules anymore, but I think PlayStation still wants to. And so I think even with a service like this, we won't see a dramatic shift. They might do betas and things like actual betas. This was just, you know, the Halo multiplayer just was launched. It's not a beta. Yep. It was just out. But like,
well, that's right. That's the long going, like, confusing thing, right? That's the drum that Dan Stapleton has been beating, is like, sorry, if a game comes out and I can play it and I can give it money, like Grounded, right? Grounded came out and is still in early access. No, Grounded is out. The game is out. You can buy it. Like, you don't get to give it this free pass just because it says early access on it.
The funny thing is, just like a total tangent aside, like, the Halo multiplayer has been very good. I have enjoyed it quite a bit. I know there's, you know, people have issues with the battle pass, but like, I could pay money for the battle pass day one of the beta. The multiplayer season one began the day the beta came out. Like, that's that is much different than, say, like, I could see PlayStation being like, okay, whatever The Last of Us Factions multiplayer project that's in the works, we're going to do a timed beta for a month and people who subscribe to this can play it. And then it launches, you know, 2 or 3 months later. Like, I could see them doing that, but I don't expect them to do the Halo multiplayer approach anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think, I totally agree. Cause, you know, unless a game comes out for a limited window and then takes away access and then gives it back, if it doesn't take away access and then give it back with a improved upon what was in that older build for this beta, that it's just in launch. I agree. I 100% agree with, you know, Dan's thoughts and your guys' thoughts on that.
You have a game like New World that had like closed betas and then it even eventually had an open beta. That's different because you're saying it's out and then they take it away. Your progress doesn't carry over. You're just trying it. Same with like Elden Ring. Elden Ring was, you didn't pay to play Elden Ring, but it's not out. It was a network test where something like Halo, they can slap beta on it if they want, but it's out. It's not going away and you can spend money on it. Right. Yep. So
and
then it's
season
like,
one.
Okay,
season one began. Yeah. It's
right.
Beta gets flung around a lot these days for very different reasons. But yeah,
early access. Yeah.
Early access as well. Yeah. I think I would probably say it's a safe bet that PlayStation won't suddenly start to lean toward that model and will still lean to like a game and all of its features launch on this day. But I don't know if I would have said this would have happened with Halo a year or two ago. So who knows where things will end up in a year.
Yeah.
I think the easiest prediction to make with this, with the PlayStation Game Pass, is we're either incredibly wrong and it's going to come out and it's going to be incredible value, right? Because that's the whole thing with Game Pass, is that it's the best value in gaming. So it's either going to come out and you're just gonna be like, whoa, they're gonna be like first party games, day and date, whatever, like the entire library's on there. Like, it's going to come out and be incredible, or it's going to come out and be like, okay, this is what it is. Yeah. It's not, you know, what it's not going to be is a direct copy of Game Pass.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think it's going to do that. It's either going to be a little bit worse or it's going to be insanely better.
Well, I think it's going to take some of what Game Pass does and then also some of what Nintendo Switch Online does. And that's sort of where this back catalog. And again, it's worth reminding that like none of this is official. It's all allegedly unconfirmed by PlayStation. So anything could change. Like, it's very possible, especially since this is not an announced program yet. But currently, the expectation is that we would possibly have access to PS1 through PS3 and even PSP games on there to some extent.
Which is also cool.
I really love this as an added benefit. I do worry of sort of the like gating of backward compatibility essentially behind this sort of program, because I also could see a lot of people willing to pay $5 to play a PlayStation 2 game that they love and just haven't been able to play yet. But I guess sort of like from this sector of it, what do you want to see from this backward compatibility emulation aspect of it?
It not to be streaming. I'm just not a fan of streaming. I never will be. I've tried. I have GeForce Now. I've tried Stadia. GeForce Now and Stadia are pretty comparable as far as like performance goes. They're both very good.
Yeah.
Xbox Game, the cloud is pretty good. It's not as good as the other two. But regardless, it doesn't matter. I remember I got a code for Stadia for Cyberpunk, which at the time was the best version of that game.
Yeah.
Was Stadia. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't do this. I don't like streaming. There's always going to be a little bit of input lag. And I had the Stadia controller. I had, you know, and I've tried remote play on my computer, both wired. There's still a little bit of input lag, and I'm super sensitive to input lag. It's just not a thing. So they need to get the streaming out of there. Plus, if they over market the streaming, people are going to just think, well, it's a streaming service. I like Game Pass because you could download games.
Yeah, and it's the same thing that they already did. Why? There's nothing new. I think you're right. They need to move away from the streaming aspect of it. Like, sure, have it as an option, but like, you know how like on the PS5 menu when you go in and you want to select version, like they need to have like that as an option. Like it needs to be a complete, like I need to go into an option if I want to select the streaming version specifically, instead of having it being like front facing.
I think it needs to be a
background option.
I would absolutely want downloads to be the primary way you play this older stuff, especially if it is just like an emulated version of it. I just want to be able to download that, have it there ready to play whenever I want, and jump in. I would expect whatever this library of games is, one, it probably won't be hard to beat the cadence of Nintendo Switch Online, where they add like a game a month, and then every 2 years, I guess they're going to charge us $25 more to pay a few other games. But two, I also think they're probably just going to be re-put up versions. Like, I am not expecting, but I'm curious what you both think. I don't think we're going to get things like you see in the Castlevania Advance Collection, for example, where it's like there are trophies, there's like rewind features added. Nintendo Switch Online does that a little bit, but I'm not expecting that here. I'm expecting it to just be, here's the game.
I can imagine having like something basic like state saves added.
Yeah, yeah.
To it, I can see something like that, and maybe a rewind function. But that would be very like,
that would be it. Probably
that would be it. Yeah, that would be kind of, that's kind of tip of the iceberg. That's like, I think that's not tip of the iceberg. That would be cherry on the top for them to add it. I think we're gonna get library wise. I think we're gonna get the stuff that, because there used to be a lot more that was available to download. Backwards compatible wise back on the PS3 days.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to, you know, anything that was already up available on the PS3 that you can't currently download on the PS4 or PS5, I think those will be our first kind of selection of games. But I think beyond that, it's like probably launch, there won't be a whole lot more, maybe a few other cult classics that are important to Sony and partnerships and what they want to bring, like maybe are going to see a revival in the next 5 years, that we might see those types of things come. But I don't think we're going to get a whole big selection, to be honest.
Just put Brave Fencing Musashi on there, Gowards.
There you go.
I think the uphill battle they're always going to have is the fact that PlayStation 3 is a tough cookie to crack. That was such a weird architecture with the cell processor that was their big reason for the fact that you can't download PS3 games, is that they just don't work on PS4 and PS5. And so I'm interested to see. That's why you can download PlayStation 1 games and PlayStation 2 games, but not PS3 games unless they're like remastered. So I'm interested to see if they fix that or not.
Yeah, I'm curious there, because, yeah, right now we only have backward compatibility with the PS4 and PS5 right now. And so getting this whole library of things, Jada, to your point of like, I think the PS3 library of backward compatibility is sort of the thing they'll shoot for over time, because I think they'll want to be able to dole out releases and do that sort of thing. I hope, because the weird thing about Nintendo Switch Online is like, even most big Nintendo first party games, like the things they don't have to worry about rights issues for, aren't even up on there. So I hope that PlayStation is just like very quickly going to put up any first party stuff, like just get that out the door. That is the thing people want to play, and that's the easiest stuff to get up there, and then they can continue to worry about third party stuff. What happened?
My light died.
Oh, I saw.
So now what's going to happen is it's going to come on, and then it's going to shut off, and then it's going to come on.
Perfect.
And then it's going to shut off.
Nice.
I have that happen all the time. Don't worry about it.
Keep the show going.
Real quick.
Yes.
Backwards compatibility. What is the one title you want to see make an appearance like in the service?
It's a little bit of a cheat because it would be they would just be able to put up the PS3 collection theoretically, but I just want the Sly Cooper games on there. Like, I just want to be able to play Sly Cooper again. I like that is one of the first party franchises. I hope we still see a revival someday. I know there's been rumors and unconfirmed reports of it, but like that's the PlayStation sort of mascot thing that I think about the most.
How about you, Mark?
What was the question? Sorry, I was turning the light
what
off.
What backwards compatibility game would you like to see most, like, day one on the service? What's, like, your, like, pie-in-the-sky dream game?
Man, I don't know. Honestly, I don't really care. only because, like, I'm not going to go back and play the old games. Like, I'm just not. Uh-huh. I just don't care. I have so limited time to play all the new things that are coming out that the idea of, like, I went and bought Final Fantasy X because it was on sale for the PS4 version. And I was like, I'm going to play this. And I'm like, no, I'm not. What are you doing? and that happens all the time. I get really excited for old games. Same with Xbox, right? Xbox will throw games on the backwards compatible. And they're like, now Fallout New Vegas is backwards compatible. And I'm like, cool, I'm never going to play it. Like, let's be honest. And so honestly, that is... That doesn't count for PS4 games, right? Because PS4 to me is still just like so current gen. I play a ton of PS4 games.
Literally just any backwards compatible game that you would like to see.
What? Every PS4 game's already on there.
This is audacious coming from the man who plays Super Mario 64 every day.
I know, regularly.
Yeah, and guess what happened? They released it on Nintendo Switch Online and it's garbo. So that's what you get for being excited about things. you just play the version you already have.
Well, if I
would say Brave Fencer Musashi. Like, I love that game. And it's like this weird forgotten Square game that franchise is dead. But I'd love to be able to boot it up if it was easily available.
I figured you were gonna say that, but I didn't expect a huge tangent. It was meant to be a short tangent. But thank you, Mark. I was like, this is gonna be a short tangent, Jonathan, I promise. And then Mark goes on an old school rant.
Mm-hmm. Mark just gives his philosophy on old games.
I'm gonna just go like cook lunch for myself. You can continue to
the year was 1996.
What about you though, Jada?
I honestly, it's also a long forgotten and dead franchise from Square, but The Bouncer. It was the first PS2 game I got with my console, and I freaking loved the little like 3D fighter RPG with like different characters that had super weird character designs. It was kind of like, I think it was before Kingdom Hearts had dropped, obviously. It was like really early in the PS2 lifespan. But like the first character, the main character, I believe his name was Sion, but his outfit is very kind of like, hey, this is very Final Fantasy, like Titus and Sora outfits, kind of, it's so out there. And like everybody's just very like metal and punk. And I loved the gameplay and I loved it. And it was a multiplayer fighter. It was one of those few games that I got to use the PS2 multi-tap for back in the day. So I'd love to see use that back.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Like, obviously, I know it came out before then, but it looks like he's doing bad Sora cosplay, even though obviously Sora would be doing cosplay of him. But oh, my God. Yeah, that does look like Sora. Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you, Red, for pulling up the footage for anyone watching the video version.
You already had it queued up.
Yeah, he always has the bouncer ready to go. But yeah, I think it could be a good element of it. But Mark, I do also very understand your point of like, my God, there are just too many games coming out. I can barely handle what's new to go back to what's old. But I do think it would be an important added benefit, especially as PlayStation has rightfully gotten dinged for the way they've kind of tried to erase the past and just sort of shut the stores down without much warning. So, I think it could be a nice added benefit, but I agree with you. I don't think I'd be playing like 1,000 old PlayStation games with it all the time. Before we move on, because we're actually quickly running out of time for this episode, very quickly, how much would you pay for this service? I wrote down in the doc, PlayStation Now and PlayStation Plus each are like $60 per year, I believe. Monthly they're $10 each. I'll double check the PS Now pricing, but what would you pay for tiers 1, 2, and 3? So PS Plus, PS Now versus PS Plus, and Super Deluxe PlayStation Plus edition.
I'll go first. I'd like to see PS Plus kind of drop $10 just because
zero?
We're going to be seeing... Say what?
$0
on the year. PS Plus is just free for everybody, which it used to be, if we all remember.
Back when it was bad.
Back when it was free. But yeah, I'd love to see it drop to from 50 a year to, or is it 60 a year right now?
I think it's 60, right?
Yeah, it's 60 on the year. So I'd like to see it drop to 50 a year for the basic plus. If we're adding, then now, give, you know, cut the difference, give me another 25 or 30. So 75, 80, and then 100 to 110 for the year for everything altogether.
Okay. Mark, yeah. What about you?
I don't know, because if they're gonna try to compete with Game Pass, and I think Game Pass is what, 15 a month?
15 yeah. per month for Game Pass Ultimate.
For yeah. Game Pass Ultimate. I don't want to hear anybody in the comments, it's a dollar. No, it's not. yeah, so I think it's 15 a month. I mean, they can't really go crazy high, like much higher than that, right? Because like yeah. that is such a good value. That gets you Xbox Live, Game Pass on your Xbox, and Game Pass on your PC. So even with their super, I mean, if their super tier is that you can play PlayStation 1 games, like how much more are people going to want to pay for that? Like yeah. Nintendo Switch Online proved, right? They upped their price because they added Nintendo 64 and Sega Genesis games, and people like rioted. So,
but I think they all paid for it.
You know what?
I'm sure they all paid for it because yeah. they're suckers.
I'm gonna make a slight edit to mine. I think I'm gonna flip the middle and the end tier. I think the PS, the old school stuff needs to be in the middle, and then the now service added needs to be the higher value.
Oh, interesting.
It's confusing. I wish that. Once Game Pass Ultimate like combined and they were like $15 and it's everything, because I don't think you have to have Game Pass Ultimate. I think you can just have Xbox Live and Game Pass.
Yeah, there's base Game Pass, which is $10 a month. That doesn't include Xbox Live Gold, EA Play, or cloud gaming. Or
the right. PC. Oh, see, that's yeah. the other thing with Game Pass, is that it has EA Play
yeah.
built mm-hmm. into it as well. You don't get EA games day and date, but like there's still a big library of games on there, like Anthem, everyone's favorite EA game. Yeah, and
that's the one to mention.
That's the one. And
Andromeda.
And Mass Effect Andromeda, the two best BioWare games you'll ever find. The only two I've played. I played like half a Dragon Age Inquisition. So
I think 15 is sort of the max.
I think 15. I think if they go yeah. any more than that, it to me, it just doesn't appeal. If they're like $15, but then it's $20 and you get PS1 and PS2 games, cool. Then I'm just going to pay $15 because I'm not going to pay $5 more for games I'm not going to play.
I would like so. Dip into that high tier if it was $20 a month. Like if I had, if there was a month coming up where it was like really, really empty and I was like, I really can't wait to go back and play Ape Escape 2. Then
Ark
sure.
the Lad.
Exactly.
Ark the Lad's actually great. So
I had that collection on PS1.
Nice. But yeah, I think 15 is sort of the max that they could go mm-hmm. for and get away with it. But obviously, we'll see. Like next year is allegedly when we're going to hear about this stuff officially, possibly yeah. see it launch. It could be really fun to compare all that stuff, obviously, once it comes out. But we'll cover all of that when it does. But yeah, thank you. Thank you all for talking with me about all this. I do want to jump into just some quick news before the week has to end, unfortunately, because I am in too many video shoots today. But first thing I did want to mention is that the Uncharted Legacy of Thieves collection, which is Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy, is coming to PS5 on January 28th. The PC version is coming at a later date. I put down the run of show, I figure, because this God of War is hitting in January on PC, so they probably just don't want to put two out in a month. But obviously this makes sense for the movie in February coming out for Uncharted. Does this timing surprise either of you? Are you going to jump back in?
Yes.
No and yes. Probably not right away. I might jump back into them later down the road. I might do a full series run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Uncharted 4 is my favorite Uncharted, so I'm kind of eager to check it out again, but I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm wondering if it's been long enough where I would need to do the full Nathan Drake collection again. The timing doesn't surprise me, though. I kind of figured it was going to be January. So
made sense.
No big surprise there. Also doesn't surprise me at all that the PC version's a little bit later. The God of War PC version, they just released all the, like, specs you'll need and all the stuff that's being added to it, and
yeah,
it's, you know, it's a legit port, where Horizon Zero Dawn was kind of janky when it first came out, and now it's finally getting DLSS support, so it's one of those things where they're starting to take it a little bit more seriously, so it doesn't surprise me that they're like, we need to work on this a little bit more.
Yeah,
you know, it's January, you know, it's think to go back to backtrack a bit, I'm actually surprised they didn't get this out for December, just so PlayStation would have that big holiday kind of blockbuster title to kind of compete with Halo. I think it's, you know, I think they, I bet that they were aiming for December, but they were just like, we need more time. And so,
well, they're doing that weird Spider-Man Ultimate Edition, which is literally nothing. Like,
well, that's costumes, right?
That's been out already. That's not a new thing.
Well, they're like,
they're just advertising it. Yeah.
Yeah. They put out a trailer for it and people are like, these graphics don't look much better. I'm like, there's nothing different about this. They're just showing the trailer that has the new No Way Home costumes.
That edition is the edition you could have bought at launch to get Spider-Man remastered. And yeah, right. They're just re-promoting it because of these costumes. For anyone who didn't see, the two suits that they've shown from No Way Home are going to be added to Spider-Man remastered this Friday, December 10th. So yeah, another good excuse to hop in. Other than that, just briefly also wanted to mention, we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week and we probably won't have much time this week, but we did miss last week when we were discussing PlayStation Plus that the Godfall edition, for those who haven't already seen it, is not the normal version of Godfall. It's sort of a like end game version where it doesn't include the main campaign. It immediately puts you into a max level character and lets you play essentially the post game content that they released both at launch and then after launch, like the different modes and things that they did. In order to get the campaign, if you want to play that, you do have to pay separately for that. And then also, Mark, as you pointed out, Mortal Shell is available, but it is just the PS4 version. If you want the PS5 version of Mortal Shell, you would have to buy it separately.
Yeah, it's kind of like they did with Final Fantasy VII. They gave away Final Fantasy VII a couple months before. And it was like, oh, so we get Final Fantasy VII, and then when the PS5 version comes out, you'll get to update it. And it's like, no, they know what version you have, and so you had to buy Final Fantasy VII legit if you wanted to. Because it's funny, you can look on your like your receipts or whatever they're called, the purchase history, and you'll see when you buy a free game, it'll be like Control_PS+ kind of deal. Like, you know, everything has these like codes. So like, yeah, it was a weird month for PlayStation Plus. Definitely a weird month.
A strange way to end the year, for sure.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, just on the big news side, SCUF did announce the first third party PlayStation 5 controllers. These are coming out. I did not write down the release date.
They're out already, I think.
Oh, are they already out? I thought they were
I think. Maybe they're just pre-order. I don't know.
I'm going to look through and make sure I don't miss that. But anyway, there will be several different tiers that you can buy. The baseline controller, it's available now. You're correct. Is the baseline is $199. The SCUF Reflex Pro and Reflex First or FPS retail for $229 and $259. These are available in several different colors. SCUF has done, you know, pro controllers for the PS4 before. This is sort of probably the most equivalent to an Xbox Elite controller right now available for the DualSense like controllers. It's specifically not called the DualSense, but there are back paddles and, you know, customizable additions to the triggers and the thumbsticks and things like that. You can switch things out as you please. As far as I know, in the description for it, it only mentioned the adaptive triggers being in there. I haven't read much about like the haptic integration. So that will be interesting to see how it emulates that stuff, when it does, but we will have to get hands on with this thing. But I'm not surprised we're starting to get third party controllers, but PlayStation is in an interesting place where Xbox was like, okay, all your old controllers, first and third party work. PS5, it is just the DualSense until this stuff has been coming out.
Well, couldn't you use your PS4? You can still use your PS4 controllers for PS4 games as long as it's wired in, I believe, as well.
It doesn't even need to be wired.
It's only for PS4. Yeah.
Yeah, you can navigate PS5 menus and all that stuff with the DualShock 4. But the second you load into a PS5 game, it won't work anymore.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
The only thing that I could see myself spending $250+ with packs and everything on one of these controllers for is if they tell me right off the bat, I'm never going to get stick drift with this controller, because I have two controllers that I cycle through for my PS5. When one dies, I switch the other one, and I'm constantly like cleaning and doing maintenance on both of them because they both start to stick drift after about, 2 months or so, and then I fix it, and then it comes right back. So if they tell me I can remove that, I'm good.
The controller my console came with has the right stick will just jolt upwards sometimes, which is why I have this beautiful red one.
The red one,
because that one is great. Yeah, you won't find a Mark Medina buying a controller like this. Like, they had a picture of Scump, you know, which is a professional Call of Duty player. Like, that's the market for controllers like these, because there is a competitive side of Call of Duty where people sponsored by PlayStation, so they are playing on PlayStations. It's not just PC. That's more the market for this. I not something you'd find me buying, but yeah, they look cool.
I do have to say, I do like the addition of back paddles. When they actually released the DualShock 4 back paddle attachment, it took a little time to get used to it, but I always thought that was going to be like, oh, because the DualSense is going to have this, and so they wanted to get people ready, and then it didn't, and then there was no attachment. But I like back paddles when they are integrated well into the feel of the controller can be very useful.
I would be so much better at Returnal, I think, if there was if I can add a back paddle for jumping, because my biggest thing with shooters and on console, because I play a lot of shooters on PC, is having to take your right thumb off of the aiming stick to jump. Right. Like, I know Returnal's coming out for PC next year, and I'm like, that's when I'm actually going to get like super into that game, because I'll be so much better at that version.
I very much understand that. That's all the big PlayStation news. Just wanted to recap quickly. Since we're running short on time, the one thing I did want to mention as a sort of PSA for everyone is, one, again, please send in your memory card stories, a little bit shorter ones. If you sent one in before, feel free to send in a revised one. I just don't want to, chop out words and portions that you might feel are important to a story, but feel free to resend in shortened versions of stories or new stories to beyond@ign.com. We had talked about this in sort of the planning for the meeting. We do want to integrate a little bit more trophy talk into the show. So I think one will be obviously bringing that to the show as well, but if there are particular trophies that you had a great time getting, have specific tips for, want to steer people clear of to not go after because it's not worth it, if you have sort of like trophy ideas in mind that you might want to send to, please feel free to also send those to beyond@ign.com, and we can integrate those in the show as well. Probably subject line best one to do is trophy tips. I think let's just keep it to that for now. Want to integrate that stuff into the show as well as we go forward. But that is going to pretty much wrap us up for this week's episode of Podcast Beyond. Jada and Mark, anything you want to point people toward on IGN before we wrap up?
We've got the, all our best of stuff is obviously going on. I'm sure you're going to plug that. I also recently did the review for A Ruined King, a League of Legends story, which is fantastic turn-based RPG set in the lore and world of Final Fantasy, of League of Legends. Final Fantasy on the brain. And then other than that, I'll have a new blog post going live for our community later this week or early next week. With a bunch of changes and updates coming and things to expect in 2022.
Awesome. Mark, anything on your end?
No, it's that weird time of the year where Thanksgiving ended, and so now we're all just waiting for Christmas. And so, no, I wouldn't say anything crazy, just like behind the scenes stuff, just editing videos and trying to make plans for things like Devs React during the holiday break. I wouldn't say anything insane, but it's just playing a lot of games, playing a lot of video games.
As Jada mentioned, definitely go check out all of our best of nominations. The best of 2021 games, TV and movie noms are all alive on IGN now. You can actually also vote. We have a People's Choice vote going on for a couple of them, I believe. Game of the Year and console exclusive, I think, are the ones we have going on for that. So you can vote in those as well. But there is plenty of PlayStation representation in there. Returnal, Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart both got plenty of noms, including both for Game of the Year and several other categories. Once winners are announced, we can dive into those on the show. But for now, go check out all those awards nominations. Tons of people were involved with the creation and production and promotion of all that stuff. So go check it out. That is sort of like our big last thing for the year. As Mark said, we're working on a couple end of year videos and things that we'll tout before the show wraps up. But I think that's pretty much going to do us.
There's also TV and movie for People's Choice Awards, yes, I believe, as well.
Correct. But who has time for movies and TV when there's so many games to play?
I mean, I'm watching Devs right now on my other screen because Mark ranted and raved about it. So
it's the way to go. That's the way to podcast.
Perfect.
But Jada and Mark, thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. And thank you, as always, to Red behind the scenes for making the show happen. And thank you to everyone out there for listening and watching. We hope you're safe. We hope you're doing well. And as always, beyond.
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 Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.